The scripture this morning is 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. This is the word of God. We call your attention to verse 10 this morning. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's love is sovereign. That is what, according to verse 10, is revealed in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here the Word of God speaks of a love that is sovereign, that is free, that is independent, and that has its source in God. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. The word means to emphasize not merely that there was indeed love, the love of God in sending Jesus, his only begotten Son, to the cross, but it speaks of a very specific truth. And it intends to call our attention to the nature, the essence of love. And here God's word declares that love, wherever you find it, in whatever form it may assume, whether it be God's love to you, your love for God, the love of God in your heart and life revealed to your brothers and sisters in Christ, love always consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. That this is true is plainly put in the text. We see that amazing and sovereign love of God in the sending by God of his Son to the cross. The love of God, in other words, is indubitably and clearly revealed in the sending of Jesus to the cross. There we see not only that God loved us, but that his love is first, self-existent, independent, sovereign, and precisely for that reason, we can depend on his love. And so for a little while, we call your attention to this glorious truth of the gospel, God's sovereign love. And we consider together its real character, its revelation, and its significance. What is love according to Scripture? Love is a bond, a union between persons. Love cannot exist between inanimate creatures or between brute creatures. We cannot love things. We sometimes say that. We often say that. We really shouldn't. I love this or I love that. Love is a bond between persons who have a mind and a will. Love is, in the second place, a spiritual bond. There is, of course, a certain love in the natural sphere, a love based on blood relationships, for example. A mother or father loves her or his child. And to a certain extent, it's found even in God's creation in the animal world. Even they at least care for their young. But this natural love isn't what the Bible is calling here and elsewhere love. According to Holy Scripture, Love is a spiritual bond, not based on natural attraction, not based on any kind of physical likeness or attractiveness. It's not a union of blood relationships, as strong as those may be. Rather, love is a spiritual union between two persons, linking heart with heart, spirit with spirit, in a spiritual bond. And closely related to that, love is a spiritual bond of, Scripture says, perfection. That's literally the statement in Colossians 3, verse 14. Love is the bond of perfectness, a spiritual bond that exists and operates only within the sphere of moral perfection. You won't find love in the sphere of the darkness of sin. You will only find love in God's light. Not in the sphere of the lie, but only in the truth. Not in corruption, but only in holiness. Not in sin, but in righteousness. For that reason, people of God, and we ought to know this and confess this, for that reason, the ungodly cannot love. Their so-called love, and if that isn't obvious in the day and age in which we live, I don't know what is. Their so-called love is a corrupt caricature and an abominable relationship of ungodliness. There is no bond, no spiritual bond of perfectness among the wicked, those who are outside of our Lord Jesus Christ. Love, therefore, is an attraction of person to person in the sphere of the light, a longing of heart for heart in the spiritual sphere of the light of God. It's a seeking of one another's good and welfare. Love always seeks the good of the one loved. Hatred always seeks to destroy its object. And that's why love cannot tolerate sin. All this takes place in the sphere of what Scripture calls the bond of perfectness. Now then, our text says, herein, or in this, and the Word of God means to say not merely by this, but most emphatically, in this sphere, is love. And the this of the text refers to what follows. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is where you see the true nature, the real character of love. Love always consists in the fact that God loved us, never that we loved Him. As we said, this points to the unique character of the love of God. That's not so hard to understand either, is it? In the natural sphere, love is always two-sided. For love to exist between two persons, both must love the other. If only one loves, it's futile. Love among human beings is always two-sided. Both must bring their love to the relationship. Both must contribute. Otherwise, the bond can't be established and it certainly can't be maintained. But God's love isn't that way. Entirely different. Our love is always two-sided. God's love is always strictly one-sided, both as to its origin and as to its operation. It is strictly all from God. And that is the unique character of God's love. We struggle, people of God, admittedly, to find words to describe this. Still more, the love of God doesn't consist in the fact that we love Him. And because we love Him, He returns His love to us and loves us. That's the terrible, terrible error of all forms of Arminianism, which our fathers in the canons of Dort did not hesitate to call the Pelagian heresy out of hell. That's how serious that difference is between the Reformed faith, the truth of Holy Scripture, and all forms of Arminianism and Pelagianism. Nor does that love of God consist in this, that God loves us first. Most Arminians will say that. But we also meet His love with our love. We both bring our love to each other. God loves everybody. And if you want to experience that love of God, love God. Let Him into your heart. Welcome Him. Receive His love. No, people of God, neither may we say that God hated us, but Jesus loved us and stepped between us and God and changed God's hatred into love for us. All of Scripture testifies to the fact that it was the love of God that sent Jesus to the cross. That's the text that was also our call to worship this morning. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The real character of love is that it is all of God. Before we loved Him, God loved us. Before Jesus was sent into the world to be the propitiation for our sins, God loved us. Yes, we love Him. But our love for God is but the reflection of His own wonderful, sovereign love in our hearts. God is attracted to us and in sovereign love draws us to Himself. We never long for Him. We only flee from Him by nature. We never seek Him. We seek only sin. But He longs for us. And He makes us long for Him. And though we never delight in Him by nature, He delights in us. He seeks us out. And we are found of Him. And by the power of His almighty grace, we learn to seek Him, of Him, through Him, and unto Him are all things. Yes, also and especially His love. Love is always the sovereign love of God. Where do we see it? He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And the Son, in the night before the cross, celebrated the very last Passover and replaced it with the institution of the wonderful sacrament, of which it is our privilege to partake this morning. The bread we break is the communion of the body of Christ. The wine, the cup of blessing which we bless, is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take and eat and drink, and as the Dutch translation puts it, remember and believe that the body of Christ was broken and His blood shed as complete remission for all of our sins. We go to the cross this morning, people of God. We do that every Lord's Day, of course, by means of the Word. Paul was determined in all of his preaching, not only in Corinth, though it's in his first letter that he makes the declaration, but in all of his preaching, and that must characterize all preaching now, Christ crucified. Christ crucified. That the preacher must be determined to make known every Lord's Day and every time the church gathers for worship, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that presupposes that we were enemies of God, dead in trespasses and sins, standing in proud and wanton rebellion over against the living God, guilty and worthy of damnation, the objects of His wrath. God could have in justice inflicted death upon all of us. He didn't have to save a single soul. It means even more. It means that when Adam and Eve stood there in the shame of their nakedness after the fall, there was no way, absolutely no way for them to reach the love of God except in the way of God reaching out to them in the way of the satisfaction of His strict justice. And for His justice to be satisfied, His eternal wrath had to be endured to the very depths of hell in perfect loving obedience. Neither Adam nor Eve nor any human being could ever do this. As far as we are concerned, our case was hopeless. But God sent His Son to be the propitiation, or as the term means literally, the covering for our sins. Not in the sense that the sins are still there but covered and hid from the sight of God, that God can't see them anymore. No, our sins are covered in the sense that they're paid for. They're paid for. The damage done by our sins, death, eternal death, is fully covered. The justice of God is satisfied. Jesus did that. That's the cross. That's how it was paid. Jesus traveled all the way you and I could never have traveled, the way of hell. And He did it for us and for all whom the Father gave Him in perfect obedience of love for us and all God's children. Jesus descended into the utter terror and shame of the accursed death of the cross. That's why He is the covering for all our sins before the face of God. And the wonder is, God sent Him to do that. God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Again, people of God, we need to hear this. Oh, yes, we do. It wasn't that God hated us for our sins, but Jesus came between and changed the hatred of God to love. But God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit sent His only begotten Son to be the covering for our sins. That's the cross of Jesus, the revelation of the amazing love of God. Yes, God sent His Son. From all eternity, God had this in His divine mind. In His eternal good pleasure, He ordained Jesus to be the head over all things for the sake of the church. That's Colossians 1. And from all eternity, He decreed that He would manifest His incomparable glory in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And in the fullness of time, God sent Him in the likeness of your sinful flesh and mine, in the way of deepest humiliation and suffering, loaded with all our iniquity. God sent Him to stand in the place of God's own judgment and into the shameful agony and terror of the pains of hell on the cross. Yes, into the sufferings of hell to pay the price, to respond with a perfect yes, to erase forever our no. And so when Jesus said, out of the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. It was indeed finished. And that is the significance of God's love manifest at the cross. The cross proclaims not merely that the love of God is amazing, not merely even that it's unfathomable and incomprehensible for us, that too, but the cross proclaims that God's love is always first, always independent, always sovereign, and therefore unquenchable. Looking at the cross of Jesus as we come to the table this morning, and as we do through the signs and seals of the broken bread and the wine poured out, we know that though our sins be as scarlet, we shall be whiter than snow. Because none of our sins is able to make of no effect the sovereign love of God. That love, revealed in the cross, removes them all forever. Don't you see, people of God, we not only know some facts about the sovereign love of God, as manifest in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We not only know some facts about limited atonement and the forgiveness of the sins of the elect chosen in Jesus before the worlds were framed. We not only know the various elements of the doctrine called Calvinism or the Reformed faith, as extremely important as all of that may be, and we do need to know those truths. But the fact is, people of God, we are assured in our hearts that it's all for us. God is my Father, the God of my salvation. I have the boldness on Sunday, September 13, the year of our Lord 2009, to draw near in holy communion to the God of my salvation, because herein is love. Not that I loved him or we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the covering for our sins. Come then, child of God, and partake of the signs and seals of God's sovereign, wonderful love in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the blessed gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Having examined ourselves in the week past, we come to the table this morning as led by the Spirit of Jesus, whose Spirit testifies with our spirits that we are the children of thee, the Lord our God, who hast loved us first and sent thy Son to be the covering for our sins. Thanks, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.